Good evening, Fana. Hope everybody is good. Today on the podcast, I've got Josh Kirkley. Now this, I have to be honest, I kind of forgot to release this podcast. So this was done in Matariki, which is a long time ago. But anyway, Josh is the man. Josh is he's an astronomy teacher at the Stardome in Auckland, but he's also quite a popular lad on the old TikTokies. So we talk about that as well, and he loves sci-fi, so that's cool. Thank you to everybody that's supported the podcast over on patreon.com/theprovise project. We'll see you guys on the next episode, eh? Peace.
Kia ora,
there we go, we're in there. Catch me up.
Okay. Oh, kei te pai.
Oh, gee, too much. What a busy week it would be for you. I've seen you on TV like 3 or 4 times already, man.
Oh, stop it. Yeah, it was busy.
How many people have come up to you and go, hey, you're the guy from TikTok. Hey, that's the guy.
It's actually happened about 4 times at work, which is quite funny. It makes me laugh. I never know what to say, but it's nice that people are, you know, coming along from TikTok.
So. It's very nice. And, like, that's where I know you from. Like, Being a light skinned brother and being like, man, this guy is killing it right now. I love it. And that's how I got in contact with you.
Kia ora.
Yeah. So anyway, bro, for those people that, and here I am just like rattling off your CV right now. But for the people that don't know, bro, who are you, brother?
This is Josh Kirkley. So I am a kaiako o Matai Aorangi, so I'm an astronomy teacher. And I work at the Stardome Observatory, which is here in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. So lots of people have been there. You might have been there when you were a child for a school trip. But yeah, I work there teaching our tamariki.
Yeah. And man, you're not going to drop the TikTok buzz on us?
No, I thought I would after lockdown, because I only got it because of lockdown, but I haven't stopped yet.
So. Okay. Man, you're great on there, brother.
I can see. Oh, I'm here.
So the reason, I mean, there's a few reasons why I got you on here. One is because I think you're the man and I want to just have a chat, sit down, shoot the breeze, you know. But the other one, and I'm very lucky because I'm really lucky because it is Matariki and you're probably one of the most knowledgeable dudes out there in my mind and that I know that I can reach out to. So with Matariki, bro, for the people that are at home that are unfamiliar with Matariki, what is it?
Yeah, so Matariki is essentially the Māori New Year. So it's a cluster of stars that are in the sky. It's the rising of those stars that kind of heralds in the new year from a lot of Māori, with a whole bunch of other things, not just the stars. But it's kind of a time to renew, to kind of think forward for the year ahead, look back at the year that's been, a time to reflect and plan. It's a pretty exciting time, especially since, you know, our tupuna have been doing this for thousands of years and we continue to do it to this day. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, like I was reading about the history of Matariki and how it kind of got, I want to use the word eradicated, but it kind of got shunned in the 1940s when all that stuff was going on. And have you seen like in the last, I don't know, maybe in the last couple of years, the resurgence of it?
Oh, 100%. I think it's kind of gone in line with the resurgence of te reo that I've seen too. You know, there's just been this real want for people to learn o reo and kind of in turn Matariki. And there's so much mātauranga that's above us. You know, our tupuna were the ultimate star experts. They knew these things for thousands of years. I've definitely seen a resurgence in interest. You know, we've had sold out shows for the last couple of weeks just for Matariki. Which hasn't been happening for other shows. So it really just goes to show there's a real interest and a real want for it for people.
So coming back to your journey and just where you are today, how did it all start for you, like in terms of the stars and getting involved like that?
Yeah, I didn't like astronomy my whole life. A lot of people think I did. But it wasn't until about 6 years ago, I think, when I was 20, I watched a documentary series called Cosmos. It's a remake of a series in the 80s by Carl Sagan, a famous astronomer. But I was really just blown away by the visuals, and I just thought, this is so effing cool. I want to learn more about this. You know, I want to teach this. And I ended up doing photography. I've done astrophotography for about the same amount of time, because I am actually really terrible at a lot of science subjects, like math, for example. So I did the arts in school, so I thought, well, I could be a photographer. I could be an astrophotographer. So I kind of just jumped in the deep end and spent thousands of dollars on a telescope and some camera gear, and I just ended up going out at night and shooting. And yeah, after years of kind of becoming a lot better at that, I ended up getting a job at the observatory, and then that led to a role teaching astronomy. So it was, yeah, kind of just really perfect for me. It just all kind of fell in line. The stars aligned, I would say.
So, oh, look at you throwing the puns in here. We just started. We're like 5 minutes into the...
Calm down. Calm down.
Calm down with the comedy routine up in here, mate. Neil deGrasse Tyson was the on the... That's the Cosmos one, that one?
Yes, yeah. That's
such a good series, eh?
Yeah, it's just very, like, visually entertaining. I think there's... Because, you know, astronomy is such a visual thing anyway, so... I always find it's one of those things, even if you don't know much about astronomy, you can kind of visually appreciate it, or you find it interesting at least.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, we all look up at the stars, you know what I mean? And everybody looks up there, and it takes you know, a different mindset to think what's beyond that. And that's what's pretty cool. Like, for you to just go, okay, I'm going to delve a little bit deeper than the regular person. And yeah, so how does astrophotography work?
It depends what I'm shooting. I mean, I've got a kind of a plethora of gear. I've got my, you know, my regular DSLR camera. I've got a bunch of lenses that go on that. So a lot of it's actually just basic photography on a DSLR. It's actually not that hard, and it's really accessible. I think anyone with a camera can do it. But I also have a telescope. So some of my more, you know, close-up shots of the moon or planets or nebula are through telescopes. So It really depends what you're shooting, but there's so many options to do astrophotography. I think it's quite easy for a lot of people to actually get into it.
I thought you'd need like some kind of telescopic lens or like some crazy shit, but no?
Yeah, no, I literally, the first camera I bought was this old Canon that was like $200 with a, you know, with the default lens. And I learned through that, and then I, you know, invested in other lenses and then telescopes. So yeah, you can do it with really basic gear.
Shit. And is it just, you just take your photos of the stars and the moon? Because weren't you the dude that, you were the guy that, the moon you got when the space station went around the moon?
Yeah, that was, what was it, 2 years ago now? Yeah, I kind of fluked, I took a shot of this ISS, the space station, transiting the moon, so it was going in front of the moon. It was a total fluke. I got a notification on my phone telling me that it was, and I didn't really think it was, but I decided to lug my telescope down the driveway and point it at the moon, and then I saw this little dot go across the space station, and it was really exciting. It made international news, and I've seen a lot of other photographers do it quite a few times since then, so it's good to see other people doing it too.
Yeah, because I never even heard about it. I just didn't know, and then to see it, I was like, oh man, this is cool. And then your name popped up. And then I was like, damn, look at that. That's the dude.
Oh, you're making me blush.
Oh, mate. Hey, we've only just begun, brother. Okay. We're only 20 minutes into this. And so put your seatbelt on. No. Okay. So, like, I'm just going to ask this because I know everybody in the chat is like, yo, just ask him, Tim, do you believe in aliens, my G?
I always say this, but, you know, define alien. Are we talking like little green men, or are we
talking
life?
Hell yeah, we are. Hell yeah, we're talking little green men.
I
poke you in the bum, mate. Those ones give you their probe.
Yeah, classic. I think in a real sense, I do. I believe in life. I believe that life is everywhere in the universe. The trouble with it is finding it, because the universe is horrendously large and everything is so far away. I believe in life. It, they may look like little green men, but I don't know. But
who knows?
I think there's definitely life out there. I think there's no doubt about it.
That's crazy, man. Like, I had a cousin one time on my Pakeha side, by the way. I just want to put that
straight.
It's
always the Pakeha side.
Don't say that, brother. It was, right? And, bro, this dude was, he was on some shit. I'm pretty sure he was on some fucking crazy shit. But he would go outside. Oh shit! He would go outside and just film like the night sky, and I was like, "That's cool." Because when you brought that up, I was like, "Maybe that's what my cousin was doing." until he made a YouTube channel, and then it all it turned from astronomer, astrophotographer to just a crazy motherfucker on YouTube.
They're what I call the YouTube scientists, where they think that, you know, because they upload things or they saw a YouTube video about it, it must be real. But, you know, I don't have my...
have you ever seen something while you're out looking and you're like, bro, and then you're like, nah, actually, that's just the shooting star.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I've shot things and I'm like, what the hell is that? But there's always explanations, you know, it's either a satellite or a piece of space debris or... there was a time, I think it was last year, there was this glowing light in the sky, which freaked me out. I had no idea what it was. And I actually pulled over and was like, what the hell is this? And I photographed it. And it turns out it was a rocket that NASA had launched a couple hours prior on the way to the sun. But if you didn't know that, you would literally go, oh my God, that is aliens, because it did look so weird even to me. And I had no idea what it was at the time. But, you know, there's explanations to things. And I think those explanations are just as cool as aliens, you know, a rocket going to the sun.
That's just as good. That's probably cooler. Like,
yeah, totally.
You know, then to go, yo, I saw an alien. I reckon I saw an alien one time, but I didn't. I was walking down this river with my uncle. We were going Ealing, and then all of a sudden, like, the whole sky went white, and then I was like, what the fuck, man? And my uncle was like, yeah, man, yeah, boy, that would have been aliens, cause, and I was like, damn. And then it wasn't. It was some kind of explosion or something like that.
Yeah, it was probably a meteor.
Yeah, it was crazy though, yo. Like,
which are just as cool, but
yeah. So, what's some of the coolest, like, cool shit that you've seen? Like, that was pretty cool. That NASA thing was, that would be cool. But is there any other like stuff you like? One time I saw this.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm biased because I think everything above is amazing. You know, when I photograph even a nebula or looking at other planets, I always find looking at planets is really quite surreal, because you know, you grow up seeing photos of Saturn or Jupiter or whatever, but when you actually look at them through a telescope or you image them, it's kind of it makes them a real world, if that makes sense. And not that I thought that they were not real places, but it kind of really brings them into your world and go, those are really places that exist in their own worlds and their own, you know, in own right. I just think planets are always so incredible to just observe and photograph, really.
I mean, yeah, well, like, you know, just us being in the Goldilocks area, you know, that's
lucky.
Astounding as it is, right?
Yeah, totally. And you know, you look at the other planets, which are just as interesting, but they're horrible places. You know, we're very lucky to be on a lovely planet here, Papatūānuku, looking after us.
Hey, Josh, real quickly, I just had a person in the chat called Karipa. Could you just give her a shout out? Just say, kia ora, Karipa.
Kia ora, Karipa.
There we go,
Karipa. Thank you for tuning in.
Oh, man, she just dropped a massive sub bomb on everybody and sorted everybody else. So I said, hey, you know, hey, we got to toe talk. We got to be in there.
Aye.
So, anyway, so you were just kind of like, hey, I just like the stars. I'm just shooting this shit. And then you're like, hey, look at this. And the star peoples at the Star Dome were like, oh, they're not star peoples, you know what I'm saying. And they're like, yeah, no. And then they're like, hey, yeah, all good. And then that's how it happened pretty much, right?
Yeah, to a degree. I was very persistent and I kept applying for this job, which was ridiculous because I had no, you know, quote unquote qualifications. But yeah, I got it. And then I kind of just showed them I just really wanted to share that with people. And you know, if you're passionate about something, you're going to do really well in it.
I reckon a lot more people should be doing that, eh? Just be persistent and stick with stuff, even if you're not qualified.
Totally. I mean, look at me. No degree. Here I am.
Yeah. I mean, look at Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? He's not qualified to do shit. And then
exactly.
You know, oh, man. Karipa's out here dropping the... Must be dull day for Karipa. Must be bloody Benny day today. Jeez, kia ora again. So what about in terms of your upbringing, like your iwi and things like that, your whakapapa, where does it come from?
I whakapapa all the way to Awarua. I always tell people I'm from Awarua. I go, where the hell is that? It's Bluff. So I've got
I don't even know where Awarua.
I know, exactly.
Shit.
Every time I do my pepeha, you know, I say Awarua, and everyone kind of just stares blankly and smiles. And I'm like, does anyone know where that is? And they're like, Carl, Bluff. And they go, I.
You don't roll your R's, man. That's what it is.
It's my dialect sometimes. I just flip between up here and then down there. It's quite bad. But it's I have my marae in Bluff Hill, so all the way down in Awarua. I actually only reconnected with them about a year and a half ago, and that was kind of integrated with my reo studies, because the first thing you do if you're Māori and you learn reo is your whakapapa, your pepeha. You got to know where you came from, essentially. I did all my ako and research that last year, and I was really lucky to actually find the marae. It was literally a case of me calling a marae that I thought was my marae and go, "Hey, is this my marae?" And they were like, "Yeah, this is your marae," because they knew the woman I was talking about, who was the woman that I whakapapa to. So yeah, she ended up being one of the pōwhakaero, the carvings in the Whārinui. So
Oh,
worked out.
it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just finding your tipuna and where you're from is so fulfilling, you know?
Oh, and it's so grounding too. It's like I it made me feel very complete, but not that I felt incomplete before. I guess it was just a sense of I didn't really know that that's something that I needed, in my life. It made me feel very just fulfilled and connected, that's what everyone's after at the end of the day.
Yeah, connected. Because the funny thing is that all of our tipuna and our whakapapa always connect back to the stars, man.
Oh, it's like the foundation of, Te Ao Māori is, we literally found this country, our tūpuna, by using Awhetū, the stars, so that's just, it's integral to our culture, and that's, my kaupapa is to make sure that it's shared and that it's widely available, because, you're not going to learn this in school either, and even our kaumātua, a lot of them have lost that knowledge, like you said earlier, a lot of it was just stamped out and was overwritten and lost, so. Yeah, we've got to make sure that it's shared and it's alive.
And in terms of our own, like, because when we, I mean, sorry, I'm trying to get this out. So when we, because this is the other thing with Matariki too, is where we honor the dead, we honor our tipuna that have passed away, and so we'll go through a couple of the stars, eh? So Matariki is actually a plate. It's a belt of stars. It's the what is it?
Yeah,
The
so
what's it called? The
Pleiades.
Pleiades, bro.
There you
Okay, that's one of the
go.
most fucked up words
The
to read.
Greek word.
That's why. Okay, but we call it Matariki, correct?
Aye, way easier to say.
See, you can swear here. You can swear all you want.
Okay,
Okay,
cool.
nobody's gonna clip it. Nobody's gonna send it anywhere. We'll be fine. But no, it's
Good.
pretty like it. So it's a Greek word for. And it's, is it part of, oh, listen, I don't want to say something. And you're like, shut up, Tim. You're not the expert here. Okay. So educate me, please, Josh.
Yeah, so yeah, the Pleiades or the Pleiades, I've heard many pronunciations of it, is the name, it's the official name for the star cluster. So that's what most people in the world know it as. So that's the Greek name for the stars. There's the their corridor is the Seven Sisters, which is quite common. A lot of people have heard of that. But yeah, we know it as Matariki. Yeah, really good question I get asked is, well, how many stars are in Matariki? Now it differs. There's no kind of like right or wrong answer. It will change between iwi and hapū, but most of us now acknowledge the nine stars of Matariki. But I've heard korero of some hapū acknowledging 12. So there's no right or wrong answer as to how many stars. But I personally acknowledge nine from all the people that I get my mātauranga from. And yeah, they all have kind of meaning within a realm within Te Ao Māori. And yeah, it's I think the one you're talking about, the one that looks after our mate, our dead, is Pohutukawa. So that's one of the lower stars in the cluster. She's at the bottom. And yeah, she's the one that guides our mate, and takes them into the sky essentially, as we kind of herald in the new year. So you might have heard, if you've been like on like a Matariki hiko in the morning, our kaumātua, they'll karakia out to specific stars, and often, they'll call out the names of our mate, and send them to Pohutukawa. So there's really deep tikanga in all the stars.
So the yeah, because so Pūtikawa is of the is of our is of our mate, of our dear, and then Waiata is water.
White tar is, yeah, salt water. Yeah, the oceans.
And then we celebrate that by fishing, I suppose.
Yeah, so it's the basically what Tōhunu no Kōkorangi, the astronomers, the Māori astronomers, they look for the brightness of those stars on those first observational days,
Oh.
and that kind of predicts the year ahead. So if Waitā, for example, was bright, they would predict the time of bountiful kaimoana, so seafood. Or if it wasn't bright, they would predict, a time of not a lot of kaimoana. So
I did not know that. I suppose I should
it's
know that.
very interesting.
Yeah. So that's how it would work, correct? So they look at the stars and see which ones are the brightest, and that's what they'll get in the new year, correct?
Yeah, and I mean we still do that today, so it's still very alive and thriving.
Wow, that's crazy. Man, I just got a factor in the chat as well. It's called Saburu in Subaru in
Yeah,
Japan, and that's why the car logo has got the stars in it.
it's the same thing. Yeah, I think their quarter is, I think there's six stars in the logo. I'm not sure, I'm not a car person. But yeah, it's the same stars actually in the Subaru's logo.
Crazy. See, this is what's really cool about this platform is that like we all kind of like come at each other with these cool like these that's just great. Yeah, so
Yeah.
anyway, so then because see, it's hard for me because I know the stars, but I only know them in song form, you know?
Yeah.
I'm doing the Macarena dance, I'm like Waipi,
Waitā.
Waipa,
Narangi.
Waidurangi. Yeah. And then because my partner is she's an early childhood teacher. And so
Aye.
during
Must
this,
teacher
oh
Kaneki.
man, the whole week is just her just going hearty in the on the ukulele, and I'm like, yeah, mean.
That's awesome.
So Urudangi is the winds, correct?
Yeah, Urirangi is, yeah, Ngā Hauwera Four Winds.
Man, this is some inspirational shit, man. This is great. Anyway, so in terms of Matariki coming back, how can people celebrate Matariki?
It's yeah, I mean there's a whole bunch of stuff on in Auckland at the moment. I know the Matariki Festival, the organization, they run a whole bunch of free hui, and there's like festivals going on. They've got kite flying, and there's also some ceremonies for the rising. I know a lot of them are on Zoom, unfortunately, with COVID. Yeah, I think it really depends on you personally. Like for me, it's really a time to kind of set my own goals for the year ahead. And yeah, to acknowledge the year that's been. This has obviously been a very tumultuous year for most of us. And so yeah, I think that's really important now more than ever to just really, look back at the year that's been, or the last 6 months in particular, and kind of plan ahead, especially here in Aotearoa.
Because I think that's like like you talk about, or we talked about it coming back and kind of having a resurgence in Aotearoa, and then a lot of people just go, well, I don't know how to celebrate, or they put these how can I explain these obstacles up, and when at the end of the day you just have to kind of do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's not like a Western New Year. You go out and drink and do a countdown, and it's the new year. This is a week long thing. There's a lot more tikanga around it. And for some people, they spend the week at their marae, or they just spend it with their whānau, or they just spend it by themselves. There's no right or wrong way to celebrate Matariki. It's just really up to the person, I guess. Yeah.
Back in the days though, when when our tipuna were running shit, on the land, on the whenua, what did they do to kind of was it just a time, okay, was it more like a notification popping up on your phone, like just pops up, hey, it's Matariki, look, the stars are out, we need to go fishing now. What was it
Yeah,
like?
I mean, I guess so. I guess there was a lot more like productivity at those times, because those stars, they're looking for the brightness, because that's actually telling them what the year ahead's going to be like. So for them, there was a lot of wānanga and hui that they would hold as to, how they're going to go forward with the year. If Waitā is bright, they're going to plan, how they're going to get more kaimoana from the ocean. If Waiti is not bright, they're going to plan how they can try and get more eels from the awa. Waiti is freshwater. So yeah, I think it was, yeah, just a real time of planning and resetting and acknowledging our mate, and yeah, those who have passed for the year. Yeah, and I think that's so important now too, because obviously with COVID, a lot of us couldn't have tangi, so that's really important, I think, at the moment.
Very, yeah. Are you, let's be honest, are you going to use that notification analogy at your next show? Because that was pretty fire, wasn't it?
Oh, I might have to credit you, but I think I will.
Okay, hey, it's yours. You don't have to do nothing. just remember me. If I ever come in, you go, hey, that's the notification guy. That's the guy that...
Free ticket. You can come in for free.
Hey, can somebody clip that? I've got a couple of... I could bring my whānau with me, brother. I've got about 20 of them.
How am I?
Oh, man. But and so also with your reel, like, because, man, your reel is awesome, brother.
I'm still learning, but thank you.
That's the first thing. Like for me, like, because I was fluent until I went to primary school. And then I was like, no more, cuz. We don't have kapaka here. You just do what we ask you to do. And to see, like, I can pronounce a lot of things, but your knowledge of words and your knowledge of reo is awesome, bro. What was that journey like for you, like learning reo?
Yeah, I mean, it's still going, definitely. Kei te ako tonu au te rā Māori, I'm still learning. But yeah, I studied amatauira with Te Wānanga o Aotearoa. So I started last year. I mean, they're free courses too. It's really accessible. And that kind of really had a big impact on me, because that was kind of what set off me wanting to learn more about Mātai Arorangi Māori astronomy. Because, I, you know, before then, my job, I was already teaching and I knew, you know, rocket science and all that stuff. But I didn't know much culturally about Ngā Whetū, Ngā Aorangi, and all the things above us, you know, apart from the name Matariki. So that kind of just was interwoven with my job when I started learning Te Reo. It was, well, A, I had to connect with my whakapapa, find who out where they came from and all that. But B, also because I'm teaching, it was really important that I, you know, integrated that into my teaching, because it's so integral. And there's a real need to a lot of all the kura and the schools that we come in, whether they're kura or like more Pākehā schools, regardless, they just really want to know about Matariki. And in a cultural sense, you know, it's not just the science of the stars, you know, you can find that anywhere. But yeah, I think it was just really important to make sure that we were kind of, at my work specifically, we're becoming a kind of a cultural place as opposed to just a scientific organization. So I'm lucky that I'm in a position where when I'm teaching, I can use my reo, and when we get like immersion groups, I love teaching them because they obviously speak fluent to reo, and I don't feel I'm there yet, but it's just good to be around that I can use my reo, and you know, they can use it back to me, and it just makes me think about what I'm hearing, what I'm saying. And yeah, I'm really lucky to be able to kind of use it every day, essentially.
It's beautiful to see. Like in my line of work, I have a lot of coworkers that are Pākehā, and the level of giving a fuck, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Of excuse my language, you know, I'm trying to keep it PG here. I just said that for a joke, because all of them are gonna roast me in the chat. Like, whatever. But no, like just the level of wanting to pronounce, you know, words. And man, what's your go-to in terms of like correcting people? Are you just straight up in their face, like, no, actually it's not Manukau, it's Manukau, or you just chill?
I usually just make a TikTok about them. No, I'm kidding.
They're legendary too, yo. We need more of them, brother.
It made me laugh because I was in my class with Te Wānanga, and my kaioko, his wife showed him my TikTok and was like, look at this funny TikTok about Te Reo. And he was like, oh, that's one of my tauere. And he told everyone on Zoom in front of everyone. I was like, it's embarrassing.
Did you get a pass? He should have given you a instant.
Oh, I think he's subscribed to me. So, you know, he's following me now.
Sheesh, he's in there now.
I forgot what the question was. What was the question?
How do you correct people? That's
I'm straight up, but I think I'm. I don't want to say I'm nice about it, but I think there's a lot of I know for a lot of Pākehā, because I was the same. I think there's a lot of whakamā about even trying to say something correctly because you sound stupid or you sound horrible. But yeah, it's, I think because my learning environment with Te Wānanga is just really encouraging and positive. Like, I would never be stink or rude to anyone who's pronouncing something wrong, whether they're trying or not. You know, I'll correct people, but it's just about, you know, giving people that tautoko and not making them feel like shit for trying to pronounce something correctly. Because if you do, you know, they're not going to bother to pronounce it ever. That's, you know, true. They're going to feel shit. So yeah, I'd like to be very supportive and just tautoko people. Yeah, I think it works, but you know.
See, I'm the other way.
TikTok off the road.
I'm the other way, Josh. Okay. I'm ruthless with mine. Okay. Nah. I'm a just so you know, Josh, I'm a teacher. I'm a intermediate teacher.
Right.
And we have this thing in my class, and it's like a game, like I gamify my class, so they all get XP and stuff like that. And I put bounties out, and I say, "Hey, if you catch this teacher saying Nikau instead of Nico, I'll give you you get 10,000 points." And they're like, "Oh," and they're just sitting there, bated breath, like, "Oh, Mister, it's actually," and I'm like, "Yeah," and I was, "Yo, I'm ruthless." I'm like, "You get him. You get him. You get Mister."
That's a good point system.
Yeah, right. I do them with everything. Even me. Sometimes I catch myself slipping. Sometimes, and I'm like,
all the time.
Yeah, and then I say, if you get me 20,000, and then they're going hard. So yeah, and like it's those little things that I think especially in education that you know like just kind of go to the side, you know, and that's the thing. Yeah. What about your in terms of schooling with you, did you do any te reo at school, or is that not even a thing?
Not a drop of it, no.
Oh, man, I saw you get into the poise, brother.
Oh, I'm trying to, but I'm so bad. I'm so uncut.
It's so hard, eh?
It's so hard, but I really want to, yeah. And the poise shop, they sent me a bunch of poise the other day, which is super lovely. Not sure why they thought I was that good, but I'll get better.
It's so good, man. Like, yeah, just, and it's like, yeah, that's why I've got to really just give you props, man. And because, like, you know, it could be really easy for anybody just to give it a shot, man, and just to try.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, just making people want to try and do things and say things. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. So, in terms of, because you've done some, because I saw on your TikTok, you did a, you changed all the stars into the te reo names.
Mm.
Is that a group thing? Was that your baby that you got into, or what?
Yeah, so that's that was part of at the moment me and my other kaimahi Olive from the Stardom. So me and her are the only Māori at the Stardom. So we kind of redeveloped the Matariki program that we had, which was kind of shit. It wasn't tika and it wasn't authentic. So we kind of gutted it and we re-scripted a lot of the things in the planetarium. So, yeah, now we can just, because the planetarium, the way that that works, it's kind of like, I describe it as the Google Maps of space. So if you want to bring up a star or whatever, it'll do it in English, but with some, you know, simple coding, you can change the names of literally tens of thousands of stars into the te reo versions.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's kind of what we've done, and it's worked out really well, and we've had really, really positive feedback for the show for the last couple of weeks.
That's awesome, eh? Like, you know, like, I think, yeah, more things like that need to be kind of out there, accessible, I suppose. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah, because, I mean, bro, like, you never know, eh? Like, you know, you might change somebody's ideals around what actually, you know, just opening their minds up to a little bit more te reo in their life.
Yeah, it's that does happen, and that's really rewarding. It's actually on Saturday after my show. I had this really lovely corridor with this wahine. She came up to me and I could tell she was really whakamā. She didn't know how to approach it, but she basically ended up telling me that she's Māori, but she didn't know her iwi, she didn't know her hapu. All she knew was this one name of this one person that she whakapapa to. But she didn't know how to kind of approach it. And she said, well, like, what do I do? Like, I want to learn te reo. I want to learn my whakapapa. And she was very grateful that I was, you know, hearing my story and hearing my reo. And yeah, she just had a lot of aroha, but I could tell that she didn't know what to do. So I just shared my story and said, this is what I did, you know, and just tautoked her and really kind of just helped push her waka out to put her on that journey, you know, because I could tell that she was probably in the same position I was about a year and a half ago, you know, feeling a bit whakamā, not really sure what to do. But, you know, if you're going to have that impact on someone, then, you know, you're doing something right, you know.
Man, I think this is the analogy exchange, because I'm going to take that waka one. I'm gonna take it. That's mine. You can have the notification one, and I'll have that one. Cause that's a.
I think you gotta credit me for that one.
Oh, is that how it is now, Josh? Okay, sure. Every time I say that, I'll say, by the way, guys, Josh Kirkley, go follow him on TikTok.
Oh, Katie Pie, I love it.
Katie Pie, man, bloody hell. But yeah, so in terms of like, let's go like with the TikTok buzz. Like, so you just started doing that when COVID hit, or was that just you're bored, or what happened?
Yeah, literally, I was kind of bored, as we all were at the start of COVID. It was a form of entertainment, but I found it really funny. There were so many creators on there, like Māori creators, who were creating things that were, A, funny, but also really insightful to, you know, the culture to our Māori. And it actually kind of funnily became, like, I know it's TikTok, but it funnily became a, like, almost learning platform. And, you know, people were just sharing their whakaaro and their kōrero on whatever topic within Te Ao Māori, and I just thought it was really cool. So I kind of, yeah, just jumped on the bandwagon, I guess. But, yeah, I think there was obviously, like, some funny things, not funny, but some racial issues that were going on at the time, and I kind of just poked fun at the ridiculousness of them, and people seemed to relate and find that funny. So well, I'll keep doing that.
True, and you have some really insightful stuff too, man. Like, I mean, I watch it, I'm like, man, I like the way that you put that.
Oh, you know? Killer.
Yeah. So you're gonna keep doing them?
Yeah, I think I will. I don't see a reason to stop unless the government bans TikTok like every other country.
I think the mahi that you're doing in terms of, especially this week, because I logged in this today and I saw your one about Monday and some of the understandings that you're what you've done, and I think it's really it's just great, man. It's just cool to have somebody that knows that stuff, and then we have Matariki, which is, you know, like in Aotearoa, we have Matariki, and it's kind of a match made in heaven, man.
Yeah, totally. It's, yeah, and people, like we said earlier, people just want to know about it. So if it's going to be on a platform where tens of thousands of people are going to see it super easily and in under a minute format, you know, cake the pie, like, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a real, it's been crazy, yay, TikTok. The rise of that thing, something's not even, I don't even think anything's kind of being like that. Are you a social media kind of a guy, or you just got into
it? Yeah, I mean, I am. Instagram is usually my main platform to, you know, share my mahi and my photos and all that stuff. But yeah, there's just something about TikTok and having these kind of short format videos that just reaches so many more people. I think it's a really powerful tool, in all honesty. And, you know, even if it is deleted and we suddenly can't use it for whatever reason, you know, there's going to be another app or there'll be another platform. There's always ways to share your mātauranga online.
Yeah, because I think I don't see, there's quite a few after the whole Black Lives Matter thing, and, you know, like, we had a good look in the mirror at ourselves a lot. Well, most people did, a lot did, but, you know, around how we treat you know, in the past how we treated Māori Pacific Islanders, and it's been quite eye-opening for some people that did, like, that had no clue, and that's been really interesting to see, you know.
Yeah, and it is. It's you know, when I first done, like, if you tell people that you have a TikTok and you're over the age of 18, everyone's like, "Oh, you've got a TikTok," but it's actually really insightful. You know, it's when the protests were going on in the States, I genuinely was finding so much of the information from TikTok, because these people were sharing these videos, like, in near real time and posting things that were happening. And these are the things that you wouldn't see on the news. And it really did give me a different perspective of the protest and the kind of the deep mamai that is in America, but also just everywhere. You know, we have that same rarau here in Aotearoa, whether people want to admit we do or not, we do. But yeah, it's really insightful, and I think it did open a lot of people's eyes to the issues that are prevalent all throughout the world.
Did you, here's something that I was quite, I don't want to say shocked at, I was just a bit like, oh, I suppose I was shocked at, is that the injustice that happened in Aotearoa, you know, with education and with colonization, and also with Pacific Island families with the Dawn Raids and the Maori movement. I think probably I was more pissed off that I didn't know it until I was an adult. Like, did you feel that same way?
Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous. I think it was, you know, a couple of months ago, whenever it was, when the government announced that they were now going to start teaching our history in 2021, and I was kind of scratching my head saying, why the fuck aren't we learning about it now? But I was the same. I didn't know about any of these things. Even, you know, Te Tiriti, I didn't know almost anything about it in school. You just get taught it like, what, an hour out of your entire schooling thing is, you talk about the treaty, and that's it. So that was just ridiculous, really. I don't know why it's not, part of our curriculum. Great that it's going to be, but yeah, I was the same. So many of these things you don't find out until you're an adult, and it's just kind of opens your eyes to all the letter,
I know deep down inside, Josh, I know that you're like, I know why they didn't teach us.
We all know, but yeah. That's what we've got to change. So.
I know. And man, you come to my classroom, man, these kids will educate the heck out of you. I've been teaching, especially the Te Tiriti. I've been just like, hey, this is what happened. And there's some great resources online.
Mm,
real resources, not like the Disney-fied shit that they kind of
the white version.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say that, Josh. I said Disney-fied. That's another one you can have. Okay.
Okay.
There we go. 2 points to me, 1 point to you. Okay. Disney-fied.
I love it.
Disneyfication. of things, like everything's all hunky dory. Hey, let's try, that kind of shit. And then, I was actually in a university paper when I was doing my teaching degree, and we learned about the mole movement. And I put my hand up and I was like, why have I just learned about this now? Why is this not like a thing? And it's massive for our Polynesian families. And same thing with the Dawn Raids. Like that was crazy too.
It's huge, and it's just ridiculous that we don't learn about it unless you maybe go to a CUDA, It's just it's horrible.
Yeah. But hey, like that's the cool thing about educators like yourself, is that we're kind of, we're pushing the envelope, and that's what needs to happen. Pushing the waka. Shout out to Josh.
Pushing the waka.
Josh quickly from the Stardew gave me that one, guys. Just want to put it out there. Bro, you got some tats, man. Is that all? Man,
whoa.
Let's have a look at your tattoos, brother.
One? Bloody.
Damn.
I had to say, I've got a solar system up there. So if I ever get lost, you can return me there. I kind of just have a whole bunch of spacecraft. Like there's one of the rovers.
Wow.
There's a Hubble. Yeah. Te Mato or Maui, the Hook of Maui. Everyone sees that and they go, oh, you're a Scorpius. I'm like, no, that's a navigational constellation, but Ke Te Pai.
Oh, you need to do a TikTok about that, man. All these people,
I have.
I have? Sorry. My bad.
No, but it's, just a whole bunch of spacecraft, essentially.
That's cool, man. That's so cool that you're so passionate about it, that you're just like, okay, I'm just going to get, I'm passionate about a lot of things, but I don't have the tattoo on it, shout out.
Some would say an obsession.
Okay, what are you playing? What's your next one? What are you planning on getting anything else?
Well, I always get them kind of when something happens. So I got one of Black Hole. Yep. That was when the photo of a black hole came out. I got another one of a rover when that rover died. So yeah, I kind of get them as things happen within astronomy. So yeah, we'll see what I get next.
Rocket Lab fucked up. You should. Like the other day, remember?
Oh, it was horrible, wasn't it? I was watching it live.
Boom.
Oh.
There you go. Get a tat of that, brother.
We'll be... I don't want a rocket exploding. Maybe a successful mission.
There we go. Okay. I don't want no morbid shit going on there.
No.
But nah, man. It's just really cool to have you on, man. I'm buzzing. I'm like, yeah, this is the bro right now.
Thanks for having me. I've never done a Twitch stream or a podcast. So
well, this is the only one. That's probably why. I'm a jet setter.
I love it. No, thank you.
Okay, I'm the Neil Armstrong of I'm dry wrenching to get another analogy in there.
It'll cost you.
Let's see. Somebody in the chat will give me one sooner or later. All right, man. Let's get on to a couple of questions, bro. How do galaxies die, bro?
Ooh, die. Galaxies are made of stars. So stars die. I guess, after a galaxy has run out of all of its hydrogen, helium, and all the stars have eventually burnt out, they would die. That's how things die, I guess, the stars.
How many times have you been stopped, when you're saying, oh, I'm, astronomy, and they go, oh, great, I'm a Libra. Can you read my star, please?
So that has happened to me once. I was on a date, and it was on Married at First Sight Australia. The contestant was the same. It was like a viral video. But I said to them, I teach astronomy, and they go, oh, I'm a Leo, whatever their star sign was. And I was like, oh, I've actually got to go.
They must, like, I don't know, like, they're so good. It's like geometry and geography. You know, like, I'm like, I know, but then someone's like, oh, geography, great. I like acute triangles. And you're like, wait, no, that's not the same thing. But it's the same thing with astronomy and astrology. Yeah.
Astronomy and astrology. If I had a dollar every time someone said, oh, you're an astrologer, I would be bloody rich.
Oh, man. Oh, I say, so what, wait, you're, so what's the difference between astrology and astronomy?
So astronomy is the science. That's, you know, everything. Astrology is the zodiac signs. That's so, like, right. You're an Aries and you're going to do this
today. I was right with that one. I thought you threw another one in there.
No.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
Spanner in the works.
Here's another one. Is it true that I don't know why I put this one in there. The Andromeda galaxy is blue shifted and moving towards us. Is that true?
Correct. Yes.
Are we fucked?
No, because it'll happen in like 5 or 6 billion years. Okay, so we don't live that long.
But my great, 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 great down the line, blah, 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 what might be a bit fucked, you know?
Well, you know what's funny about that actually? Because everyone thinks when galaxies collide, there's like, you know, chaos and all the stars hit each other. But because space is so big and everything's so spread out, when galaxies collide, it's actually calculated that almost no stars actually hit each other. They kind of just merge because, you know, the distance between stars is literally astronomical. So it's unlikely that, you know, it would be cataclysmic if it happened to be happening tomorrow, you know?
I think I'm just going to do a whole question thing with the end of my question being, are we fucked at the end of it? Okay. Let's go. 2064, Halley's Comet comes back. Yep. Are we fucked?
No, but I hope I'm alive to see it.
You will be, man. You're only a young buck. You'll be sweet.
Well, you know, we're killing the planet, so I bloody hope I'm alive.
That's the other thing too. Man, I saw this interesting-ass video. It went like billions of... Have you seen this one, Bran? And it was like, I don't know what it was, Nat Geo or some shit. And it like fast-forwarded like in 20-year increments, and it just kept going and going and billions and billions and billions. And bro... Like, we ain't lasting that long, cuz. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I guess we're not. I don't know which one you're talking about, but sure.
Just say yes, Josh, okay?
Yes, yeah, that's okay. A great one, yeah.
Okay. It's very good, isn't it? What channel did you watch it on?
Nat Geo.
I love doing that, to my mates. Just say yes, and then I just pull them under the bus like that. Pull them under the waka. No, that's not. That
under the
work,
waka.
That doesn't work. I'm trying. All right, let's get to some viewer questions, because... They're probably sick of asking if we're fucked with some stuff. This is probably the rawest interview you've ever had in your life. Am I right? Takata, oh, I'm asking you these questions, Josh. Okay.
I know. Like, I wish I could swear with them.
You could kind of get away with it if you just say, like, fucker, like, real fast, and then ma at the end.
I'll just curse him today.
All right, man, there's another TikToker. His name's Nortelica. I don't know if you've come across him. He's the guy that makes sausages. Yeah.
All right.
Sausage sizzle guy. Okay. He's up there, man. I'm telling you.
All right.
His question underneath here, it says, what is your favorite sausage sizzle topping?
Oh, fuck. That's harder than when people ask me, is God real?
Well, that's the next question.
Like a classic Bunnings. The onions they do, like the caramelized onions with like tomato sauce in there. I know that's really like basic bitch, but you know, can't go wrong with that.
You gotta be basic bitch. It's fucking sausage sizzle. Like, what do you want to put on it? Like fucking Tabasco and shit? No. We're just keeping it real.
Yeah, no, just classic. Onions? Yeah, Bunnings. Yep, onions, tomato, and mustard.
Mustard. Have you had it with cheese?
No. Do they even have cheese at Bunnings though?
No, they don't.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be extra. Though. Okay.
It could be those the sizzlers that have cheese in them. Those, you know, got my nose.
No, I don't. I'm not a fan of the sizzlers.
Oh, I know they're so shit, but like, I'd rate a sizzler. Eh?
Really?
Yeah, they're just super easy and like, you know, all good. It's the toppings. Though. It's the toppings.
Okay, that's the other thing too. Is like, you know, when you get a good like a beef sausage or like an actual one, not the fucking pre-sale.
Yeah.
You know, that's the next level. So Nortelica tried to do the sausage sizzle, but the inside out and put the bread on the inside. was interesting.
Well, and then a sausage is a bread, like a whole.
He does like experiments, but with sausages. You got to follow this guy, man. He's the man.
Sounds like a sausage scientist.
He is. Well, here's the funny thing. He's actually a scientist in real life.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, yeah, scientists always do the weirdest fucking shit.
He follows you. When I said that, he goes tried. I did it. He actually did do the bread on the inside and stuff.
Okay, I need to follow him back then.
Yeah, I throw all the ideas at him all the time. All right, here's the one from Consistent. He said, what Powerade is the best cure for hangover?
Always blue. Classic.
I love how fast you asked.
I've got some in the fridge now.
I love how fast you answered that, bro. Hey, it's definitely blue there.
But you have to make sure it's real Powerade, because if you get the knockoff brands, like, those make me sick. Like, you'll throw up, and you got to get real Powerade.
Bro, what's the one and it's got the little bit on the top? Like, it's not a Powerade, you know what I mean? It's the cheap one.
Yes. Yeah, don't get that. That's like, you will throw up on that.
Loaded. That's it. Loaded.
Don't get those. They are not kept it by.
Okay, here we go. Next one. This is from Colossus. He's a good, big fan of stars. He says, what is your favorite constellation?
Probably this one. Te Mata o Māori.
Yep.
Just because it's, you know, navigationally important. Yeah.
How is it can you educate us on how it is navigationally important?
So this Te Mata o Māori is a part of a larger constellation known as Te Waka or Tamariri, the Great Waka. So that was the one that Aotearoa used about 1,000 years ago to as their GPS, essentially. So that actually guided them to Aotearoa because it pointed them to the southwest at certain times from Polynesia. Yeah, it's pretty, and it's very large too. It like stretches across half the sky, so it's very cool.
We actually, there's a game. Twitch is video games. There's a video game called Sea of Thieves. Okay,
yeah,
and it's like a pirate game, right? They did this online thing, and you had a telescope, and you could look in, and you had to like make out all the constellations. It was the shit.
Yo. Yeah,
and then that would you'd get a map, and it would say go towards this one. And then you'd have to find the one and then go towards it. It was so mean.
Just like in real life.
I know. And this is why games are so powerful. Okay. I'm just trying to educate the bro. You know, next one. And this one's from Mr. Fantapants, one of my favorite Australian people. He says, do Western constellations have similar star groupings to Māori constellations?
Some of them do. I mean, you know, some stars are obviously very bright, so you're going to see certain things in certain areas of the sky. Like this one, for example, that's obviously a hook to us. But most people know that as the tail of the scorpion, the stinging tail, but obviously we don't have scorpion in Aotearoa. So Aotearoa saw a hook, so Te Mata o Māori. So yeah, some really bright stars, you'll get some similarities between Western constellations, but kind of other less known constellations, which are kind of more broad, they don't often resemble the Western ones at all.
Okay. Oh, cool. Yes, can someone in the chat get the bro's TikTok? Everybody's asking for your TikTok, mate.
It's just my name, Josh Kirkley.
Okay. But someone will get a link so they don't have to go too far. This is me. I'm making you right now, Josh. Okay, I'm your publicist right now.
Oh, I love it.
It's the other way around, man. You got the swipe up shit on IG. I don't have that shit.
Oh, isn't it? It's great.
I don't know if it's great or not, Josh, because I don't fucking have it.
I'll give you a promo. Don't worry.
You already did, so thank you. I did see that. Thank you. All right, next one's from Holitude. He said, if you discovered a constellation and you could name it, which Kiwi would you name it after? Ooh.
I would obviously be a Māori. I don't know, like Tupaia or something. You know, there are too many to pick, but it would be someone within Tau Māori. It wouldn't be a Pākehā explorer, definitely.
Oh, well, hey, mate. I thought completely different to that.
What did you think?
I was thinking, man, you can name it after Timu Era Morrison, man.
Oh, I could put one up there, you know, Auntie Cinder or something.
I was going to say something else, but I won't. to say Jake the Musk, brother. Say Jake the Musk.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. This is a new guy. Brian Tamaki said, is God real? No.
Carl.
Okay, next one. I'm trying to get you there. All right, next one is favorite place to stargaze other than Stardom.
Depends what time of year it is. Because I always want to look at the galaxy, the Milky Way. So if it's in winter, for example, I always go to East Auckland because then I look away from the city. But if it's summer, for example, in the Milky Way is in the west, I'll go to like Muruwai or Piha, because the Waitakere Range is kind of blocked light pollution. So it really depends what I want to photograph, but you know, 45 minutes, an hour out of Auckland in any direction is bye.
Yeah. That was from Himogen, by the way. Next one is from Just for Kicks, my main man with the custom kicks. His one is thoughts on how Polynesians navigation was depicted in Disney's Moana. A great question.
I think it was a good starting point to kind of introduce a lot of people to, you know, what Otupuna did. Obviously, Moana is kind of a blend of many Pacific islands. It's not just Māori and Aotearoa. But yeah, there was some truth in a lot of the things they did in there. But I think it's a really good, you know, kids show, not an adult show, kind of introduce Mātai Arorangi. Yeah, I thought it was a cool movie. And I know that they just came out with the Te Reo version, which I need to get around to watching. Kind of seems quite cool.
That goes into our next question from Halitude.
Ah.
He says, with Moana recently getting the Te Reo Māori language, what other movies would you like to see given the option? Great question.
I want to see more, well, I'm biased, but I'd love to see more sci-fi with Te Reo captions. So they're often Western movies, but yeah, I think it's also really useful when you watch movies with Te Reo, even if you can't understand it, just hearing people talk and you can kind of start to pick up, you know, the nuances in the language. I think it's really useful, but yeah, definitely more sci-fi I think would be really cool.
So you're a bit of a sci-fi guy?
Yeah, almost completely sci-fi, yeah.
Which brings us to our next question. I'm a professional.
You got them ready, honestly.
Okay, the Mighty Unga from the Rock of Nui says, favorite space fantasy lore? Is it Star Trek, Star Wars, DC Comics, Gundam? Where would you go? This is going to start lore. A massive conversation, you know, this one here.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, I'm not like team this or team that. I think if sci-fi is cool, sci-fi is cool. I don't really care what universe it's in. But yeah, I really like Star Wars. There's so much lore within Star Wars. I also really like Star Trek. My dad used to watch a lot of Star Trek, so I used to kind of watch the old ones of that. But honestly, I really like the Alien series. I think they're fucking cool. The modern ones, was it Prometheus and forget the other one. I really like those. Yeah, I know some people don't enjoy modern remakes of sci-fi, but I almost always do. I think they're always visually more stunning.
Because I mean, Prometheus. Bro, I watched Prometheus, and I was like, bro, that could be Earth, yeah. Real talk.
Yeah, I thought it was a fucking cool movie. Like, it's probably one of my tops.
And then there was a lot of like I don't know, like Catholic kind of themes and shit. You're just like, what the fuck? Like, there's pictures of, like, you know, the dude who's got his head fucking ripped off and shit.
Mm.
And they're like, damn. But I reckon, man, and you know, like the perfect human being, like when that dude, and then he,
yeah,
know,
the big white dude.
Yeah. I reckon that's how we fucking started, B. Like, for real.
Yeah. I think the thing you find in sci-fi, and I think this is why I like sci-fi so much, is there's actually a lot of really religious undertones in a lot of it, because it's, you know, when you are dealing with concept matters like the universe and where we came from, these really big questions, you often always have to reference religion, because they're kind of very closely intertwined. You know, religion's kind of a man-made construct of where we came from. And when you go into sci-fi, that's that. There's often these really religious themes. Often it's disproving them, but I think it's really cool.
Have you ever watched one and you're like, it's all shit here?
Yeah, the movie Passengers with Chris Evans, I forget his name. I hated that movie.
Oh, yeah. is that the one with old Katniss?
Jennifer Lawrence. Yes. Yeah, I was going to say Katniss too.
That one?
Yeah.
I got you, man. See, we're on track here. Do you watch Interstellar? Do you like Interstellar?
Oh, it's one of my favorite films. Yeah, I think it's a fantastic story.
So good.
And very realistic too.
Yeah, man, have you seen that one? Oh, what was and Neil deGrasse Tyson like corrected? Was it Titanic? Did you hear that story?
Titanic?
So you know, on Titanic, like the constellations all fucked up in the movie.
Ah, I didn't even think about that.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson hit up James Cameron, and for the remake, they let him fix it all up, and it costs like millions of dollars.
Did they remake Titanic?
No, not remake it, but like for the
like DVD, a re-release,
like re-release or some shit. Yeah.
Mind you, I guess that movie came out in what, 97, so probably didn't have very good CG.
Yeah, nobody wanted it. Like, they were like, really? Like, just put a star there. We'll be fine.
And then it's a little bit nitpicky. Yeah.
Old Uncle deGrasse Tyson comes out here, like, hey, fucking hell. Next one. We'll stay on that sci-fi buzz. AKA DJ Blaze says, what's your favorite sci-fi show, man?
So I will admit, I don't watch shows. I don't watch like TV or Netflix or anything. I'm a very like movie person. Because I have a really short attention span. So if I watch a series that's like an hour and then there's like 20 episodes in the season and then there's 10 seasons, like that's way too much time for me. So yeah, I couldn't say a show, unfortunately, but movie, Tika.
Yep. So Star Wars, you reckon, eh? Star Wars is your jam? Did you watch Mandalorian?
Yeah, sure. No. So that was that was on Netflix, wasn't it?
No, like, it was on Disney Plus.
No, I don't have Disney Plus, but. Yeah, I was watching behind the scenes videos. It was really interesting how they made that movie with like LED green screens or something. It was very cool. Lots of technology in that movie.
You got to get on the pirate ship, mate, and get some. You got to teach you how to torrent, brother. You can get whatever you want.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, here I am. Cut that out, guys. That's illegal.
We don't condone. Yeah, nah. We condone piracy.
Go to your local cinemas and sort it out. Next one. This is a good one. I'm looking forward to hearing you answer this one. Would you go to space if you had the chance?
Yes, I understand.
Yep. Would you go live on? Would you live on either the moon or Mars?
Yes, I'd go to both. Moon would be more favorable because it's, you know, if something goes wrong, you can probably come home. But Mars, if something fucks up, you're stuck there for least done. A year or two.
Yo.
Yeah.
Do you how far away do you think we are to that? Either one.
I mean, you know, NASA's got, they've got their Artemis program. They plan to send people back to the moon in 2024. That's 4 years away. SpaceX has ambitious plans to send people to Mars, you know, within 10, 15 years, which sounds really laughable. But, you know, you look at how quick SpaceX has advanced technology. It almost does seem very plausible that they will potentially achieve that. So, yeah, definitely in our lifetime, not too far away.
Okay, this is a private question, okay? And I know that, you know, I don't know who's watching. Did the moon landing actually fucking happen, mate? What's your thoughts?
Yes, it very well happened.
Okay. We'll talk off stream. Me and you. Okay? I need to know that shit. Next one is from, let's get it. Oh, okay. From stop laughing, Josh. Shit. This is a serious fucking interview, mate. Shit. Hullitude asks, what's your favorite spacecraft, man?
Again, that's hard to say because I've got like 15 on my arm. But I think my favorite mission of all time was the Cassini mission to Saturn, which ended 3 years ago. There was a spacecraft that launched in like 97, I think. And it was in space for almost 20 years. And Saturn's my favorite planet. So it just sent back almost stunning images of Saturn. And it was really sad to see when it died, when they flew it into the planet to basically suicide itself. That was very sad, but yeah, probably Cassini would be one of my favorite missions ever.
Why is Saturn your favorite planet?
Oh, I mean, the rings. It's just a stunning planet. I remember the first time I saw Saturn through a telescope was after I bought my telescope. And I remember literally I looked at it through the eyepiece and I literally just like was like, holy shit, like, oh my, it's real. Like, I'm looking at another world, you know, and it has its rings around it and it looks like unreal, but it's very real. I just think it's a really, you know, the grandeur of that planet is beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, it's for me, it's either that or Jupiter. Jupiter looks pretty cool, bro. It's
got a big, yeah, Jupiter is, it. It, yeah. Yeah. Massive storm. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Very big.
Yeah. Next one. Here we go. The next one is from Hullitude again. He says, what's your favorite space themed candy? We've got Starburst, Milky Way, or Spaceman Sticks?
Probably Spaceman Sticks, because I remember getting those from the dairy when I was younger. Yeah, definitely. We actually still sell them, I think, at the Observatory in our gift store. So definitely Space Sticks, just for the nostalgic.
Do you still pretend you're smoking with them to impress
people? Honestly, I was double packed with them. I thought it was so cool.
It was the one. It had to be. It's the only thing you could use with it. All right. So, my one of my favorite people in the world, her name's Serena. She says, what is the fuck-a-papa of astrology? Where did it come from? And there must have been some basis for something going on.
That's a really good question. So the origins of astrology, not astronomy, astrology, was, and then this goes back to many ancient cultures, was... almost all ancient cultures had a really good understanding of Nephete and the stars, and they understood the pattern recognition of knowing that when certain stars were rising or setting, it would actually predict the season. So they knew when to plant or when to move or when to harvest. So that was kind of the basis of astrology. It was those 12 zodiacs, which is the 12 that the sun passes through. And the position of the sun would kind of, would predict the year or tell them what time it was, what season it was. And to them, that was quite... otherworldly, to have the stars and the sun predict, the weather getting warmer or this or that. So that was kind of where astrology came from. And then over time, that kind of did morph into astronomy once what we call like modern science came around and actually helped us understand what those stars actually were and et cetera. So yeah, that's kind of where it came from.
That's crazy. Like, I didn't even think that. Well, I thought it was just like, someone just made this shit up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is made up, but it's based in real science, astrology of, the 12 zodiacs. They're real things. It's just, you can take what else you want from the rest of it.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. This is from Timmy Flips. He says, if a black hole brings aliens, are we fucked?
Well, I think I would be more concerned about the black hole than the aliens, but...
You're a dick. Not you, I mean him.
I think it, I don't know. There is this whole kind of, there's a question within astronomy of what's the, should we be trying to contact aliens or what would we actually do if a species, contacted us? Because, you look back to Columbus going to the United States. He was technically an alien to the area and we obviously know how that devastated the natives there. So, if you think if there was a civilization that was more advanced than us or wanted our resources or our water or something, it could be very hostile. But yeah, we like to think that it wouldn't be, but I really don't know. I think it could be or it couldn't be.
Mm. Next question from Revalia. She says, sauce in the cupboard or in the fridge, man?
In the fridge once it's open.
Yeah. I'm the same.
Always.
Couldn't be in there. I'm not a big fan of the cupboard, eh?
No.
Bro, I wanna talk to you also about Independence Day. Have you seen that movie?
Oh, that's one of my top films too. Love Roland Emmerich. Great director.
Listen, there's so much crock of shit. Will Smith takes down the alien, right? Just opens it up and punches him and knocks him out.
Yeah.
And then that just doesn't make sense, right? And then they have the alien in the fucking, in Area 52, right? And he's like, getting into the old president, fucking busting his brain out there. That's some bullshit. I just had to bring that up. How could that be one of your favorites, man?
I mean, who doesn't want to see the White House get blown up by a mothership? Yeah. Like, I wish that happened tomorrow. No, don't clip that.
Okay, clip that. Flip it. No. Put it on socials. We're canceling this guy. All right, next one is from Fiasco. And I've got to be careful with Fiasco because she asked some really mean questions to me. Okay, but anyway, sign. She says, what's your star sign?
I am an Aries, but funny story about star signs. Star signs, because they were invented thousands of years ago, they no longer make sense because your star sign is meant to be the sign that the sun was in when you were born. But because it was thousands of years ago, the positions of the stars and the sun has shifted. So when I was born in 94, the sun was actually in Pisces. So I could be a Pisces, I could be an Aries. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, doesn't really change your day, does it? No. See, it's these kind of questions that I don't like, and I'll put one up for you. Fiasco says, can you give Tim the name of your hairdresser? But legit, where do you get your haircut, brother?
I actually cut my own hair. So.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at the... See, they're always mocking me about my hairline. And
I'm sure. Yeah, this is all you need. You know, you're good.
Be careful what you flash on camera next time, mate. And have some context before you flash stuff like that. Next one. Here's from Cub Tea, and it's a very close and personal question. Where's your favorite bakery, man?
Favorite bakery? This is pretty stereotypical, but I really like the Fairlie Bakery because I often go to Tekapore, which is, you know, you drive there from Christchurch, and I always stop at Fairlie and get a pie. And they're really, like, I think they're really well known for their pies, I think. Yeah, I really like the bakery in Fairlie.
What about have you got any in Auckland?
Not really. Unfortunately, there's, like, weirdly no bakeries near my house. Yeah, not that I can think of off the top of my head.
You know,
terrible Aucklander.
The corner. I'm a bakery expert, okay? You're going, you know where the Stardome is, you come out, turn right, and you go all the way down towards those shops that are at the corner of going towards
Greenwoods. Yeah.
Bro, there's a bakery there. Pretty bougie, though. It's a bougie bakery.
What's it called?
I don't know. It's just the bougie bakery in my mind. It's on the corner there, but, mate, it's pretty. They make the pies really thick. Like, they're like...
By next to the dairy?
That's the one, brother.
Yeah, no, I have actually been there. No, they do really good pies. I've walked there during work before. I don't know what you're talking
about. You gotta come out to Clendon, though, brother. Okay, best bakery in the world, I'm telling you.
In the world. That's a pretty big call.
Yep. In the world. I do a... here's my plug, okay? I do a series on YouTube called The Bakery Run.
Yeah.
We go out to bakeries... Ooh. And we just we critique their pies, and it's episode 2 on the 20th. Everybody, episode 2's on the 20th. I'll send you a link. Okay.
Oh, please do.
Love it. We went out to Hill Park Bakery in Manurewa, and next week we go out to Drury.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, next one. Here we go. This is from Timmy Flaps as well. He says, "What's your favorite dinosaur?"
Dinosaur. Probably it's an Argentinosaurus, which is, I think it was the largest dinosaur ever. And they only lived in Argentina, you could guess. Yeah, they're kind of like, what are those long neck ones?
Brachiosaurus?
Is that it? I'm not a dinosaur. Yeah, just the, like, they're like the long neck ones, but they were found in Argentina and they were like bloody huge. Yeah, they're quite cool.
All right. Here they come. You know these will come in. Thoughts on Uranus.
All jokes aside, I know it's the butt of all jokes, literally.
Boom! Puns, honestly, starting at the finish.
But it's justice for Uranus, because Uranus is a really interesting planet. But I can't teach people about it because they just laugh and kids are like, you said Uranus. So, you know, we should need to rename that one, honestly. It's ridiculous.
Thoughts on Pluto too, man, by the way.
I mean, like, my thoughts about its planetary status, or...
Yes, that's exactly where I'm going.
Yeah, I agree with it. Like, it shouldn't be a planet. Like, Arohama, I love Pluto. It's a really cool place. But Pluto is really fucking small. Like, it's smaller than Australia. You could put it between Perth and Sydney. It's very tiny. And we found other things that are bigger than Pluto. There's another dwarf planet called Eris, which is bigger and more massive. So if we wanted to call Pluto a planet, we would have to add like 5 other planets to our category. We would have like 13 planets and it would probably just keep going. So we had to categorize them.
All right. Next question from Revelia again. Best place to get a starter telescope?
I would shout out to, what are they called? Astrons. Astrons, they're like a telescope importer. They're based here in Tamaki. But they import telescopes from overseas, like high-end brands, but they also, you know, have like real low entry-level telescopes. Give Astrons a Google. They're really, really helpful.
All right, and here's another one. I told you these are coming, mate. Favorite joke involving planets that doesn't include Terminus. I mean Uranus. Thanks. Thank you, consistent piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard them all. My favorite, though, is why did the astronauts not like the restaurant on the moon?
Okay, why?
Because it had no atmosphere.
Oh, wow.
Oh, sorry.
All right, next one from Poetry. Poetry asks, what is your favorite, either sunset or sunrise? Sunrise or sunset?
Actually, neither. I'm actually going to confess that and say I actually prefer a moonrise or a moonset. I think they're way cooler than a sunrise or sunset.
There we go. Man, I like that. I like that you flipped it. You know, you flipped yeah. it up. You didn't just keep it real. Like, you were like, yo, okay, let's get it. Jerry Milk says, what would we do if aliens came? Would you think is the what do you think is the first thing that we should do?
I mean, it's also a question of what would the first thing that they do. But I mean, if aliens did come, I'm sure we need to show them the Naki and we maybe do a porphyry for them, welcome them to Aotearoa. Just be nice, I guess, because otherwise they might be mean.
Yeah, there we go. We're getting through, man. Everybody's throwing the questions, man. It's good. Was the Shoemaker-Levy collision the coolest event in the solar system?
Oh, that's cool. Someone knows their stuff. It was very cool. Shoemaker-Levy was a comet in 94 that was flying past Jupiter, and it basically got pulled into Jupiter, and Jupiter ripped it apart because Jupiter's huge, and then the fragments of it smashed into Jupiter, and we actually observed it with telescopes, and there was a spacecraft there on the way too, which also saw it, which was, yeah, really cool, just to see a comet, like, literally explode in front of our eyes.
that's crazy. We got another one about that too. The Mighty Unga says, do you remember February 1st, 2003, the Columbia Space Shuttle? Watched it. He watched it from, this is from Smiles, sorry. Watched it from his driveway in Titirangi the night before it crashed.
Yeah, that's because when the space shuttle program was on, you could see the shuttle if it was passing and it was visible. It's kind of like the space station because it was quite large. I personally don't remember hearing about it on the news. I was quite young. 2003 but yeah, I mean, I teach people about it now and I've done a lot more research, which is, yeah, very sad. I think the sadder thing was the astronauts had no idea what was going on because they lost contact with NASA and all that, but yeah, very, very sad to lose people in space.
Man, that's the first time I ever heard of that. It's Cup T asks, what element of Te Ao Māori would you like to see incorporated more nationwide?
Apart from all of it, I think starting as Aotearoa, as our language, I don't know. I that's hard to answer because I think I couldn't just pick one. I think it all Te Ao Māori is all this kind of piece that everything is intertwined, and I think you couldn't just pick one thing and go, well, that's what we'll integrate. I think it's all really integral and useful and, you know, interesting. I think I'd love to implement all of it, but I think Aotearoa is definitely a really good starting place.
All right, Timmy Flaps asks, if God was real, are we fucked? What the fuck?
I don't know. You'd have to ask God if he was real.
I know, jeez. All right, this one, I don't know if... there's a question from Serena I'm really keen to ask you, and I don't know if this is going to be one of those questions you're either going to go, ooh, or you're going to go, wait a minute.
Bring it.
I don't know. Sailor Moon is real, right? Sailor Moon?
Sailor Moon is like before my time, so I don't remember. I know what it is, but I didn't watch Sailor Moon.
Oh man, sorry, Serena. Sailor Moon is. Yeah,
I can't answer all the questions. Sorry,
okay. He doesn't have all the answers, fam. Okay, relax. okay, next one. Here we go from something wicked. How close are we? Oh, sorry. How close have we come to planetary destruction with meteors passing close to the Earth?
It's hard to say. I think it's obviously an issue. You know, I always joke and say the reason the dinosaurs went extinct is because they didn't have a space program. But I, you know, the I think what was it back in 2013? I'm not sure if you remember. There was the Chelyabinsk meteor that exploded over Russia. It was this like 20-30 meter wide asteroid, which is tiny, but it exploded and like injured thousands of people and damaged thousands of buildings. And it was captured on camera and it came completely out of the blue, even though we have like monitoring on satellites up there. It is a big threat. It's probably one of the bigger threats from out of space. But yeah, these things can happen kind of out of the blue. But we do have monitoring programs for like large asteroids. And I know NASA, they've got a program where they're actually trying to redirect an asteroid. They're going to smash something into it and kind of alter its orbit. So hopefully if one does come to us, we know how to protect ourselves.
Cool. I've got one from the chat that didn't get in the thing. It says, it's from PMT. He says, what's your thoughts on Pwanga?
Pwanga. My thoughts, probably in relation to Matariki, excuse me. So Pwanga is a star in Orion. And a lot of iwi actually, basically the way we observe Matariki is different. So it's actually not the same for everyone. So not all iwi look to Matariki because, so for example, where I'm from, my kaitahu down south, on the west coast, the hapu there, obviously there's huge mountain ranges in the way. So their view is actually blocked of Matariki. They can't see at the same time as most people. So they look for Pwanga, which is a star that's across from it and just a bit higher. So they see that star instead. So I know it's the same for some of our whānau in Taranaki. They use Pwanga. It's just a different way to observe Matariki, essentially. So it's the way we see it is dictated by our natural environment.
That's my iwi, Taranaki, Te Atiawa.
Oh, kia ora.
Yeah, so I got to kind of go. And that's new to me. Like, my mum kind of like, she's like half-hearted, like, oh, yeah. My nan was the one, but she's passed on. So yeah. Next one from PMT as well. What day in Maramataka or time of the year is the best to get hapu?
To get hapu? you might have to ask a wahine about that one. I'm not sure. Not the kore phases, I'll say that.
Okay, there we go. We've got poetry. She says, do you like camping under the stars?
I do. It's one of my favorite things to do is road trip and take my telescope in my tent or just get a batch somewhere. It's really nice also just to take friends away, you know, away from the light pollution and just show them the stars because, you know, you can't see jack shit in Auckland.
That's right, because it's just, yeah, the light pollution, that's what it is. Mm. Jerry Mook says, can you tell us what the supermoon actually means?
So supermoon is basically, so the moon goes around the Earth. Easy, but the orbit of the moon is elliptical. It's not actually circular. So there's times where it's closer and there's times where it's further away. So a supermoon is basically just when a full moon happens to occur when it's at one of its closest points within its orbit. So it just appears slightly bigger and slightly brighter, essentially.
And next one is from Cup Tea again. He says, if you could take someone on a romantic space-themed date, what would you do?
See, I wouldn't do that because I work in space. People always think like, oh yeah, you know, you like, would you go like watch the stars with them? But I'm like, I do that for a living. So I'd rather like not do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, I think it's quite special though. Like if I was with someone, like, you know, had a natural partner, like me taking them out to the stars would be like quite special if I was actually showing them things, not just like a first date type thing, you know? Hmm. So, you know, there's white aura in that, you know? So,
yeah.
Gotta be special.
That's it. Here's from Unga, the mighty Unga. He says again, do you believe in the multiverse?
I do, but don't ask me to prove it because I can't.
Oh, sheesh. DJ Blaze again asks, how much of space can we actually monitor with respect to the to possible collisions?
It's dependent usually on the size of asteroids. So there's a, if whoever's watching, if you look up a mission called NEOWISE, it's the one that I found the comet recently, that's one that tracks asteroids. So they're easier to find when they're larger, but smaller asteroids can often really fly under the radar. So it depends on the size of an asteroid, how much we can monitor them. And they're always sending new spacecraft up to actually, you know, make sure that we're safe up there.
Here's the next one from NZ Jedi. He says, when we crashed Cassini into Saturn, do you think that Saturn locals thought it was an alien attack?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess if there were locals in Saturn, it would look like a meteor, essentially, just this thing like streaking across the sky. It would have been actually really cool to watch. Yeah, definitely.
And this is the most questions of it. Like, normally we get maybe 10 or 12 questions. This has been like, man, the chat's on fire at the moment.
Oh, I love it. Keep going.
Okay, let's go. if we could travel at the speed of light, would time travel be possible?
Yes, and you don't even need to travel at the speed of light. You can go like 99.99% of the speed of light. And you, in turn, time travel, because time doesn't exist if you move at the speed of light, but if you go really close to it, it is really slow. You wouldn't notice, but observers would. So, but yeah, but I always say, if you actually want to time travel, all you need to do is go outside and look up, because all those stars are in the past. The light had to travel to us in the first place. So you can just go outside and time travel.
Oh, there we go. It's funny. I've got people in the chat saying, you're not doing my question. Shut up, Fee, because your question... Your question, Fee, is not good, okay? Do another one, okay? It's insulting towards me and my hairline, Fee. There we go. next one, for poetry. How many constellations can you name by memory? You don't have to do it, just number.
Oh, see, this is really bad, but there are 88 constellations officially. I could probably name like 40, maybe? But I'm very bad with northern hemisphere ones because obviously I don't see them. But yeah, maybe like 35, 40 I could name. I'm not going to, but I promise I do know like 30 or 40.
We trust you, man. We trust you. This one's from Just for Kicks. He says, has there been any New Zealanders gone to space? Have any New Zealanders gone to space?
No, not yet. And I think that needs to change. So young people that watch this, if it is any young people, you need to...
We've been swearing for the last.
That's true.
1 hour 44 minutes. Do you think that kids want to hear this kind of? Nah.
I guess it's what I do with my mahi, with all the tamariki that I teach. You know, I want to inspire one of them. Go to space. You know, we need a New Zealander in space, or a Maori in space would be amazing.
Man. Do a haka on the moon. Oosh.
Ah,
all the straight tika tonu out there on the moon. We'll be in there. Jerry Mook says, do you think the risk of space junk is real?
The risk on Earth, very minimal, like next to nothing. But the risk of space junk in space is very, like it's a real issue. I was thinking, you've probably seen that movie Gravity with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah,
that whole scenario is like a realistic scenario which could happen. Most of the things that were orbiting us are defunct satellites, so that is a real issue in space, but less for us on Earth.
And we'll do a couple more. We'll do maybe three more questions because, you know, we don't want to take too much of your time, brother. You know,
you're all good.
That one was already asked. Here's one from Unga. He says, favorite sci-fi planet.
Oh, favorite sci-fi planet. One of the ones from Interstellar, I really liked the I think it was Miller's planet, the water planet that was just completely covered in water and it went around a black hole. I think that was, yeah, that would be really cool. Well, it wouldn't be cool, but it visually would be really cool to be on a planet that orbits a black hole instead of a star, and also having it completely covered in water just looks really cool.
Man. Fiasco, we'll ask one of you. If you could send someone to space and leave them, yeah, who would it be and why would it be Tim? Oh, fuck. Anyway, who would you send off to space?
Donald Trump.
Have to maybe. Be that guy?
Yeah.
It'd be him and old Brian Tamaki.
Yeah, if it was a New Zealander, I'd go, yeah, Brian Tamaki.
We'll get old.
Haere atu.
Haere atu, brother. here's one from Cub T. How did Tim convince you to come on the show? Thanks, Cub T. I just asked.
He said, hey, do you want to come on the show? And I was like, aye.
That's it.
Easy as that.
Easy. You, especially when you're a charismatic guy like myself, okay? All right, all I got to do is just you know, hey, bro, how's it going? And we're fine.
Those good looks? I couldn't say no.
Hey, now who's making who blush now, eh? All right. Just because to ask, have you bought your own star?
No, but I would advise people to not do that because it's a scam. You can't legally buy a star. That's just ridiculous.
Oh, shit. And this is a long question. So this is from Jeff from Brotown. He says, what are your thoughts on the theory that if we were to travel back in time, we could not bring our memories with us? an example, the human mind works so far out, works such as we cannot remember that will or what will happen tomorrow. If let's not answer that fucking question. Kia ora, Jeff. Kia ora, Jeff. Go see. Go
I was
see
a bit lost there, so
go see your doctor, brother. Go and ask Auntie for cuddle, G. And last one. What fuel will power how we travel?
I mean, common fuel is hydrogen, methane, water would be really useful because you can split it into oxygen and hydrogen. Or even things like ion thrusters, which are viable technologies. I guess it depends where you're going and how fast you want to go. Yeah, lots of ways to travel in space.
All right, man. And that's us. Everybody's asking me, listen, everybody's asking me to say the predator question, okay? I always say this predator question, and it's quite rude. Okay, listen, my one standing, like I was like, you know, look at me, was the time that I got to interview John Campbell, okay?
Yeah.
And I asked him this question and he told me to fuck up. And he hasn't returned my texts or anything yet. So listen, I hope this does not offend you, okay? All right, the predator, okay? He comes out, right? Does the thing. He does. He's. I don't know how. He kind of sounds like that. Telepathically, he hits you up. Okay, and he's like, "Listen, my planet is dying back home. Okay, he's like, I need your seed, Josh. We need to take your seed. We need to go back to my planet, and we need to start a new planet of Josh's. Would you accept that? Would you say yes or no?
They're going extinct. Hold on, am I?
See, can you see how John Campbell would tell me to fuck up?
One of me's enough, honestly.
Anyway, dude, thank you so much for your time, man. I'm so appreciative. And, man, I think we vibed then, man. It was a vibe.
I feel it.
It was a vibe. I'm coming through, man. You're going to see me come to your work with all my kids. Oh, look,
seriously, you do need to come through.
And awesome. Give you a big hug and say thank you, bruv.
Yeah, definitely though. Like, just rock up whenever, and I'll be there.
Okay, I'll bring my iwi with me too, brother.
How do I? Honestly.
All right. Thank you so much, eh? And we'll catch up later, eh?
Kia ora. Thank you. It was fun talking tonight.
Oh, awesome. All right.
All right. Ka kite.
Ka kite.